This week, we are presenting an abbreviated worship service from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Today is Sunday, March 12th, 2023. The order of service will be opening hymn, followed by the scriptures, which will then be followed by the sermon, and closed with the benediction and a hymn.
Our opening song.
There is a Redeemer.
Confession and forgiveness.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord and King, we are sinful people. We have inherited the legacy of original sin from our first parents, Adam and Eve, who disobeyed you in Eden. We are by nature sinful and unclean. In our daily lives, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We sincerely repent of our sins and humbly ask your grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. By the renewing work of the Holy Spirit, lead us to change what is sinful in our lives, that each day we may grow in righteousness and godly living to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake, he forgives us all our sin. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ by his authority, I therefore declare to you the good news that your sins are forgiven. This is in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The next in this order of service will be the scripture readings.
Our first reading this morning is from Exodus, the 17th chapter. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved from the wilderness of Sin by stages according to the commandment of the Lord and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried to the Lord, what should I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, but because the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? This is the word of the Lord. The psalmody for today is Psalm 95, verses 1 through 11. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof through they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed the generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. The second reading is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person who would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, Jesus left Judea and departed again for Galilee. He had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, why, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar, went away into town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. He stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world. This is the gospel of our Lord.
The service continues with Pastor Carpenter's sermon.
Sometimes I forget to say it, but there's a good number of folks that join us through the online, through the streaming. So to everybody who's watching and worshiping with us this morning from your computers or your phones, whatever, God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Thinking about this lesson, some people in this world have fears that they keep secret. There's a fear that might be within us all at some point, that maybe some, more than just some people here and there, maybe all people share at some level this secret fear. That if you know me, if you really know me, you would not love me. That if you know me, that if you really know me, you might even leave. It happens a lot in the world around us. New people are introduced to us at school or at work, at church. And in the beginning, there might be an interest, you know, some sort of an attraction to get to know each other. There's something about that person you want to know more of, and you spend time and you get to know them. And you might become friends, you know, move from acquaintances to friends. And then maybe sometimes it even moves to deeper relationships than just a friendship. But then a moment comes. You do something. You might say something. You might reveal something that changes their previous high opinion of you. The moment that you've had so far of toward and with becomes a moment that starts to have a growing distance. You move from heroes to zeros. Maybe the unnamed woman that the church remembers in today's gospel lesson, maybe she went to the well in the heat of the day when no one else would want to do this, and she goes there alone because the world around her knew her, regarded her as a zero after knowing her, and now has distanced from her. Maybe the community considered her undesirable. Maybe it was easier for her to go to the well alone now than in the company of those who would openly remember her failures, her inadequacies, all the ways that she's disappointed somehow. Pause for a moment and consider all the people of the world, even now, who find it easier to be alone or on the fringes of society rather than be in the midst of community. Consider all the people who fail to be popular or attractive and who seek to be included somewhere where the unpopular and maybe the not so attractive can fit in and be someone that has value. Maybe these distant, discarded ones, maybe they didn't win the competitions in sports. They didn't win in the competitions of being physically attractive. Maybe they didn't do well in learning. Maybe their families didn't do well in earning lots of money. Maybe they just made a bunch of bad decisions or trusted and associated with the wrong people. And those people, maybe it's easier to be alone. Alone rather than surrounded by large numbers of people within a community who comfort themselves by thinking, I'm not perfect, but at least I'm not as bad as they are. Maybe there was such a history between the Israelites and the Samaritans. For hundreds of years, the tribes of Israel lived as one people of God. They entered the promised land. Each tribe was allocated portions of the land, and there they settled, and there they lived for generations. God was their God, and they were his cherished people until they were no longer interested in God being their God. Some were more degenerate than others, and they were separated. To better understand the reputation and relationship of the Samaritans to the Jews, consider this from 2 Kings chapter 17. We'll get to what occurred. This occurred because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had come to fear other gods and walked in the customs of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel, and in the customs that the kings of Israel had practiced. And the people of Israel did secretly against the Lord their God things that were not right. They even built themselves high places in all their towns, from watchtowers to fortified city. They set up for themselves pillars and ashram on every hill and under every green tree. And there they made offerings on the high places, as the nations did whom the Lord had carried away before them. And they did wicked things, provoking the Lord to anger. God withdrew his provision and protection. He let the Assyrian armies from the north invade and devastate those northern tribes. This happened around the year 722 BC. The Syrians not only conquered, but those that they did not slaughter and mutilate, they would take back with them into captivity. They enslaved them. By the tens of thousands, they enslaved them and indoctrinated them in foreign lands into the ways of the Assyrian culture and nation. 2 Kings chapter 7 also says this. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, the son of Elah, began to reign in Samaria over Israel. He reigned 9 years, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his vassal and paid him tribute. But the king of Assyria found treachery in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to the king of Egypt. He stopped offering tribute to the king of Assyria that he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up, bound him in prison. And then the king of Assyria invaded the land of Samaria, and for 3 years he besieged it. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria. And he carried the Israelites away to Assyria and placed them in Halah and on the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the city of the Medes. Friends, the Assyrians brought in Gentile colonists, people that they had conquered in foreign lands. They brought them into now this land of the northern Israel, into Samaria. And as they brought these peoples in, they brought in the ways of the Assyrians, the ways of their foreign gods and these foreign customs. The Israelites intermarried with them. The Israelites adopted their ways, their religions. And they were corrupted. Now, meanwhile, that was happening in the northern kingdom. In the southern kingdom, about 70 years later, 90 years later, Judah, the southern kingdom, fell to Babylon around 600. The people of Judah, likewise, were carried off into captivity. But 70 years later, 43,000 of them were granted permission to go back to their land to rebuild Jerusalem and their nation. The people who now inhabited that northern kingdom, the Samaritans, when they heard that 43,000 of their Jewish friends, I don't even know if they were friends at this point because of the intermarrying piece, when they heard that 43,000 were come back to rebuild Jerusalem, they vigorously opposed the repatriation. They were very creative in how they were opposing this. Sabotaging politically, sabotaging physically. They tried to undermine the attempt to establish the nation with its capital and temple in Jerusalem. These returning, full-blooded, monotheistic Jews detested the mixed marriages and the corruption of the people of Samaria. Now, not even sure if they were even cousins because of all the peoples that had come in that weren't even Jewish in descent. At this point in history, walls of bitterness and division were set. And that stayed that way for over 550 years. There's some of the history behind the Samaritan peace. Now into this, enter the Son of God, Messiah of God. Enter into this for a specific woman, for a specific community, for this specific region and people, and as such, maybe for the entire world. John tells us in verse 3, Jesus had to go through Samaria. Sometimes we don't hear that. Yeah, maybe they felt that same way. The operating word in there is that Jesus had to go through Samaria. They could have walked around, but Jesus had to go to Samaria. Why? Here's one. Jesus had to go to Samaria because he had to let this specific woman know that he knows everything. Everything she has done, said, or thought, Jesus knows. Jesus knows her joys and her sorrows. He knows her fears, her failures, her shame. He knows her, I think he knows her more honestly than the way she would even consider herself. And still, he goes there to make sure that she knows that he loves her. He loves her enough to walk extra days uphill against Jewish culture, to be there at that special moment in history. He offers truth and life and an invitation to the way of God, to an unworthy person, and some would have argued the most unworthy person. He did that intentionally. Another reason, Jesus had to let this whole community and region know that he knows everything that they have done or said or thought. All of the Samaritans, all the people in this town, but yet all of Samaria, Jesus knows. He knows them more honestly than they know themselves. He knows the generations, a sinful history going back 1,000 years. He knows the bloodlines of God's people who had been given the promise of God through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose well he was at. He knows those bloodlines, and God's promises to those bloodlines have now been diluted and or replaced, and the people who inhabit those lands were not the ones in the bloodlines to receive those promises. Jesus knows this. They're not the Jews. They're not the tribes of Manasseh, Ephraim. They're not those peoples. And by going there, he makes sure that they know that he loves them. That the Messiah of God loves them enough to walk extra days uphill against all previous traditions and divisions so that he could be there in their town in that day, at a special time in history that intersected intentionally. And he offers them truth and life and an invitation to the way of God, to what many in that area would consider the most unworthy people. To the most unworthy woman, and now to the most unworthy people, Jesus goes. There's a part three to this. St. John had to invest almost an entire chapter. Chapter four is this story almost in its entirety. John invested an entire chapter telling this story. He was led by the Holy Spirit to include this chapter because Jesus wanted you and I to know the same thing that that Samaritan woman and that Samaritan village knew. That Jesus knows us. He knows your thoughts. He knows your motives. He knows you more honestly than you know yourself. He knows the history of our nation, how we were blessed with a most beautiful land, our ancestors were, how we were offered freedoms and prosperity and protection like few in history have known, how we have now let go of God and we grasp the sinful enticements of the world. And still, God loves us. And through his word today, he's offering us the same thing he offered the Samaritan woman, the Samaritan town, and the Samaritan people. He's offering us his way and his truth and his life. Listen again to the words Jesus spoke and the words that the woman spoke. Jesus said, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one that you're with now, living with now, he's not even your husband." Jesus knows. Later, when the woman shared what had happened with her whole community, listen to what she says. She says, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done." I'm asking you to notice the difference. It's a subtle difference, but it's very loud. There was more to this encounter with Christ than her divorce of 5 men and her current shacking up with a man who's not even her husband. It was far more than that. She was given the Lord's vision of who she was. She was able to see the entirety of her sinful self, if you will. She was able to see herself sinfully as God sees her, and she was able to see herself as beautifully as God sees her. That said, have there been moments in your life when you've been reading the Bible, worshiping in church, praying, When God gives you a glimpse of yourself, the way he sees you, have you felt it? One of the reasons I'm here, telling you about Jesus, much like she told her community about Jesus, is because of a similar event. Shortly after being invited to attend a Lutheran church near the University of Arizona, one of the first churches as an adult ever, my first church, it was during the season of Lent. Sometime after one of the services in the evening, after everybody had left the church that night, I remained in the sanctuary and there sat alone. It's awesome to sit in the sanctuary in the evening, especially when the sun's setting alone. Stained glass windows cast marvelous shadows. You get to see a Christ candle that's lit up all the time, but when it's super bright, you don't see it. But when it gets dark, you see it flickering, that eternal flame that reminds you that the Holy Spirit's always with you. All those symbols are going on. And in that quiet place, I just started repraying the words that we prayed earlier, our confessional words. I prayed, I confess I'm in bondage to sin and I cannot free myself. I've sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and deeds, by what I've done, by what I've failed to do. And then something happens. It's hard to describe what it was. It was like a vision-like event, impossible to begin to describe. I was in the presence of a loving, peaceful, and yet sad Jesus. In Jesus' presence, there was pure honesty without condemnation, at least as I'm remembering it, a revealing of clarity but without anger. The remainder of the confession continued. Jesus said, you have not loved your neighbors as yourself. And all hundreds and hundreds of events are flashing before my eyes, like my life is being flashed before me, of not loving even my mother or my sister, of my friends, my closest friends, my grandparents. I didn't love them. Just the motives were being shown. Motives for each action was being exposed the way God sees it. And he goes on, you have not forgiven others as you have been forgiven. And hundreds of events are flashing through my mind of resentment or ill wishes for those who have said something or done something that was hurtful to me. And my scheming or my planning of how I was going to get even or even get ahead, beat them down. He says, look and see your unfaithfulness, your pride, your hypocrisy, and your impatience. See your self-indulgent appetites, your ways, your exploitation of other people, how you use them. It's being revealed. See this, your envy of those who are more unfortunate than you, your love of worldly goods and comforts, your negligence in prayer, your blindness to the human needs or suffering, your waste and pollution of my creation, flashing images of how I'm doing this. You have grieved the Holy Spirit. You have grieved your Heavenly Father. Wow, this moment of God was revealing, and it was honesty like I've never experienced before. But honesty without condemnation. Honesty without anger. In that moment, I was revealed before the Lord and revealed to myself. I experienced him saying, and I still love you. And I forgive you. Follow me. Get my voice back. Experience that, right? Jesus knew that Samaritan woman. Everything I just described, she, in her own way, in God's way with her, had to have experienced a similar thing. Jesus knew her, and she knows that Jesus knows her. And Jesus knew each one of the people in that village, that little town of Samaria, that came to him. They discovered the same Jesus, the same Jesus who knows you. Everything about you, the things that you don't let anybody know. Not one person in the world knows certain things that you hold. He knows that. He knows me. He knows you. And still, he loves. He comes to us in his word today. He comes to us in this new covenant of body and blood. He invites us to believe in him and to follow him, this one who loves even though he knows. St. John had to invest an entire chapter telling us about this event because this event is like a key that reveals the entirety of the Old Testament, New Testament story. This is like a micro story of the whole books. God so loves that his son comes to us at great expense to honestly reveal to us the truth, with the hope that we would invite him to stay. The Samaritan people invited Jesus to stay. They pleaded with him, stay with us. Jesus went to them and they invited him to stay. And then just like the Samaritan woman in the Samaritan town, that we would believe the good news. We remember this story because God wants us to learn from the Samaritans. In the presence of Jesus, forget about defensiveness. He's not there to knock you down and to rub your face in it. And forget about making excuses and trying to blame it on somebody else or something else. There's, in his presence, you don't need to be defensive or make excuses. See yourself as Jesus sees you, as sinfully as you are, and as beautifully as you are. And invite Jesus to come and stay. And in time, invite everybody around you to come and see the one who knows you and the one who loves you. God help us be that church. Amen.
Service concludes with the prayers, the benediction, and the closing hymn.
Let us declare our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us in our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for calling us to rest in you each and every Sabbath. If it gives you glory, let your Holy Spirit fill this place and those who gather in it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of both law and love, keep us from words and actions, no matter how well-intended, that are contrary to your holy will. Engrave your commandments upon our hearts. Empower us to live according to your commandments. And in your mercy, forgive us when we fail to be the people you call us to be. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good heritage you have given us, most of all for the heritage of your Son. We thank you for the unbroken chain of faithful who have gathered around word and sacrament century after century. We thank you for the congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church, for a past that gives us a longer perspective than our own experiences, for a present full of insight and opportunity, for a future full of potential and promise. Help us to live lives worthy of such grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we ask you to bless those who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, birthdays, and other special events this week. We ask you to let all who mourn experience your comfort and your promises. We ask you to be present with those who are hurting spiritually, emotionally, or physically, those hospitalized, those facing treatments or surgery, especially those we name in our hearts now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, breathe your Holy Spirit upon your church. Clear our hearts of those things that clutter them, that we may love you more deeply. Sweep away the dullness of our minds, that we may know you more fully. Banish from our wills any weakness that prevents us from following you more faithfully. Give us wisdom to know your holy will and courage to pursue it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Now, Lord, into your hands we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray. We will trust in your goodness and mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us declare our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us in our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for calling us to rest in you each and every Sabbath. If it gives you glory, let your Holy Spirit fill this place and those who gather in it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of both law and love, keep us from words and actions, no matter how well-intended, that are contrary to your holy will. Engrave your commandments upon our hearts. Empower us to live according to your commandments. And in your mercy, forgive us when we fail to be the people you call us to be. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good heritage you have given us, most of all for the heritage of your Son. We thank you for the unbroken chain of faithful who have gathered around word and sacrament century after century. We thank you for the congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church, for a past that gives us a longer perspective than our own experiences, for a present full of insight and opportunity, for a future full of potential and promise. Help us to live lives worthy of such grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we ask you to bless those who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, birthdays, and other special events this week.
We ask you to let all who mourn experience your comfort and your promises. We ask you to be present with those who are hurting spiritually, emotionally, or physically, those hospitalized, those facing treatments or surgery, especially those we name in our hearts now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, breathe your Holy Spirit upon your church. Clear our hearts of those things that clutter them, that we may love you more deeply. Sweep away the dullness of our minds, that we may know you more fully. Banish from our wills any weakness that prevents us from following you more faithfully. Give us wisdom to know your holy will and courage to pursue it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Now, Lord, into your hands we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray. We will trust in your goodness and mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn.
This concludes the worship service at Emmanuel Lutheran Church on Sunday, March 12, 2023. We're glad that you could be with us and invite you back anytime that you can make it. If you'd like to view the whole service, go to our website, www.elcnwa.org. Thank you for joining us.